Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast is presented by our friends at Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. We've been partners now with Compassion for numerous years. They were our first ever partner with Sports Spectrum's podcast, and we believe in the mission of what Compassion is about, releasing kids from poverty in Jesus' name. Now, recently, our home church here in Connecticut hosted a Compassion International Day, and we had Owen come and share from Africa. And Owen came and shared his testimony. He shared about him going through the Compassion program and the importance of what that child sponsorship looked like to give him a chance at hope, to give him a chance at a future. And I'm telling you, when you hear a first-person testimony from someone that's gone through the Compassion program, it really does move you. And we've been sponsoring children with Compassion for many, many years. And yet, when I hear that testimony, it's just another reminder to me of why it's so important to get involved with what Compassion International is doing. You can go to the website, compassion.com/sportsspectrum. Compassion.com/sportsspectrum. You'll see a list of children there, kids from Peru, Colombia, Ethiopia, Kenya, Sri Lanka, the Philippines. They are waiting for you to sponsor them, a child sponsorship program unlike any other. Over 2.2 million children are part of Compassion's program. It's trusted. It's been the most trusted charity since 1952. And again, I can't stress enough how important it is that your donation, your sponsorship can help release a kid from poverty and do it in Jesus' name. Check out compassion.com/sportsspectrum to learn more and to sponsor a child today.
This is Sports Spectrum, the intersection of sports and faith. Now here's your host, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. Our website, sportsspectrum.com. Please make sure you go check that out each and every day. There's tons of free content there, including articles, devotionals, all the podcasts that we have on our podcast network. You can also subscribe to our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can subscribe to our Sports Spectrum newsletter, which is free every single Wednesday, a way to stay in touch with all that we have going on at Sports Spectrum. And again, you can sign up and check out all of the free content and resources at sportsspectrum.com. Now, today on the show, this is one intense, I'll say, conversation with Paul Allen. He is the radio voice of the Minnesota Vikings. He's been doing that for over 20 years, long time. He's also the voice of horse racing at Canterbury Park in Minneapolis as well. And he's the host of a really cool podcast as well called Faith and Goal, Intersecting Sports and Faith, a lot like what we're doing here. Paul is also a brand new Christian. He's 56 years old. He came to faith in Jesus 4 years ago at 52 years old. And man, does he have one powerful story and one very confident, I will say, demeanor in knowing who God is in his life. He's a talker. He's a professional talker. And it's perfect for a podcast. And Paul Allen and I got to meet each other at a conference called Arise with the Guys back in Minneapolis in April that I spoke at along with him. We did a little segment together, which was really cool. And I've talked to him previously in a long form setting and then this podcast. And every time I talk to him, I think, wow, we need to do more of this. We need to have more conversations with Paul Allen. The guy's on fire for the Lord. And he shares a story, particularly in this podcast, that he's never shared or very rarely has shared before. And it involves the Dallas Cowboys. This is Paul Allen, the radio voice of the Minnesota Vikings. He joins us right now on Sports Spectrum.
What's going on there, Jason? Haven't seen you since Rise with the Guys at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, with Roethlisberger and Carter Coughlin, who kind of stole the show, and Tony Dungy. I miss you, and it's great to hear from you.
Yeah, I miss you too. I'm glad we were able to connect and reconnect. here today. And this is a really fascinating time for me to talk to you because it's a very busy time for you here in early August between getting ready for another NFL season. The preseason starts in just a few days when the Vikings take on the Las Vegas Raiders. You're on the call for that game. That's the first call of the year. You're also doing the horse racing stuff. This is a pretty busy time for you, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. Going to bed early is very important, as early as I can. You see, I like to listen to the Bible in bed, and it just, you know, even fall asleep with it, you know, but sometimes I'm just so tired. The older I get, I've called races at Canterbury Park. This is my 28th season. I've called races overall for 30 years. I've done the radio show at KFAN for a quarter century, and this will be my 21st year calling Vikings football. All those jobs given to me by God are, I love them. I mean, they're fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But to succeed at the level at which I and we have succeeded, a lot of work needs to go into it. And I just don't stop putting the time into it. I'm never going to be one like, well, here it is. I mailed it in. And, you know, off the equity of Paul Allen, right, I can just roll it out there and play the game. So now, you know, you mentioned the faith-based piece. We have a chapel at Canterbury Park called the Dean Coots Memorial Chapel. It's been there for 16 years. And the pastor, who has a lot to do with getting it going and working with grooms who live on the backside of Canterbury Park and racetracks around the country. And they do the gypsy trail every single year. And like, say, over the course of 2 weeks, they scoop $400. With most of them, half of it goes back to their family in Mexico, Guatemala, wherever. So it can be a very hard life. And Ed, Pastor Ed Underwood, has a lot to do with their stability. Well, he has a rare form of throat cancer. So he actually recently just had a surgery and a treatment, but he hasn't been able to do anything with the chapel this summer, spring, summer. So God guided me in a direction to just say, I'll take it over. Because I did four sermons last summer, very raw, head down, wanted to nail the passages, didn't exactly know what I was doing. And of the 30 whatever thousand races I've called, 400 whatever football games, all the radio shows over 25 years, preaching the word of God to 50 to 80 people, over 40 minutes, not what we did Arise with the Guys. That had preach to it. It had teach to it, but it also had bit to it with you and I,
right?
You know, so it had more of an entertainment value than you would think you would get from a sermon. So I've done two sermons so far. I just did one August 2nd, for my third, and, September 6th, I have my final, but I've taken control of the scheduling, the food that comes there for the grooms and everybody. And I've just kind of taken control to make sure it stays viable and it keeps its vibrancy. No regrets, but a lot of time and work has gone into it. And that's good, but that's added to it. And, you know, God has crafted me in a way where I can work at a high level while tired. And I give him thanks every single day for these jobs, the opportunity to work with the chapel, the opportunity to share the word of God whenever I get the opportunity. So that's been added to what is an arduous August. No regrets.
Before I get into, and I just love your heart for the Lord, and I need to hear that story. Again, I need our audience to hear that story from June 2019 and what took place in your life to follow Christ and begin a relationship with him in your early 50s. But I have a question that's broadcasting related in regards to the Vikings. First game, August 14th, it's at Las Vegas. You know, the opener for the regular season, September 11th, at home against the Packers. Like, can't get any better than that. You've already said off the air, Green Bay's losing that game. You said Minnesota's winning that game. But you haven't done a game since last January. So you've been doing this for 400 games, so it's not like you're not qualified. But do you have to go back and do a game almost and kind of as a rehearsal? Or do you just get right in first game and you're into it?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not going to say that, you know, things are as tight and or sharp with a preseason game coming up here within a week as it's going to be when we're doing games like we have Belichick at US Bank Stadium on Thanksgiving night.
Right.
So things will be tighter then. there will be more of a story to tell because I'll have more past performances. But, you know, it's, I would say over the last 3 to 4 years, ever since I've just truly immersed my life into the Bible, into a belief in God I've always had, but it just, my confidence has grown in ways I didn't ask for it to grow. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, when I call races, okay, if we have big $150,000 races, a lot of attention nationally, big jockeys and stuff like that in town. Well, when they come on the track for the post parade, before they gallop around, then they race. Say there's a horse named Jason Romano. Well, I will memorize. That's brown, right? Your shirt's brown.
It's blackish brown. Yeah,
I guess okay.
It's
black. Yeah, I would memorize Romano, 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 blackish brown, blue trim, Romano, Romano, Romano. Then go to the next one, Secretariat, Secretariat, and mesh the jockey silks so it's quick twitch. I might do that once a year. So it's pretty much, I'm talking to people in the booth, I'm making bets, I'm watching sports, and somebody in the press box will yell, "Hey, we got 4 horses left to go in." Oh, the horses have reached the starting gate. It's post time and they're racing. So I God has gifted me with the ability to see, okay, I see Jason Romano, but I'm talking about Secretariat. Then I see Secretariat and I'm talking about Seattle Slew. So the confidence to be able to just let that unfurl is something for the majority of my career I had, but I was too scared to utilize it. Same thing with football, where I don't want to make mistakes and I want to make it entertaining and exciting for those who have taken time to watch and or listen to me. But I just don't trip out over the minutia anymore. And I recognize if I make a mistake and if somebody doesn't like something or I get sabotaged or savaged on Twitter, who cares? Big deal. I mean, God put me in God put me in a position with no college education, dead broke in my mid-30s, traveling around the country calling races. He put me in a position to have 3 microphones for what would be a quarter century to hone my skills, build my following, and craft my confidence in a way for this time of my life. And I'm not, you know, Mr. Soothsayer prophet guy, never would claim to be, but it's all over the Bible that, you know, certain things will extend your life and add years to your life in multitude and stuff. I just, for some reason, I feel like that's happening with me. I just feel like for some reason I'm going to live longer. And I don't eat any differently. I haven't felt my ribs in 30 years. But I just feel, it's hard to explain, Jason. I just feel like what I started doing 3.5, 4 years ago and where it is now, and recognizing the difference between do and done. Okay. I don't follow done. There's nothing I need to do to earn my stripes to get to heaven. That was done on the cross, and I've believed in God all my life. I now know Jesus was God on earth. I'm in love with him. I lay in bed. I'm the one who wishes I could have walked with him. And like, even if I had my head cut off, like wondering what that was like. And when I pray, I rarely pray for myself, but if I were to, I'd be like, you know, Father, when the book of life is opened and I join you, when I join you, you know, man, I just really like to see the story in long form of what it was like with those disciples next to you and like how everything went and just the visual. And then to learn the importance of the Holy Spirit and how to channel that and appreciate, recognize, and respect that every single day, no matter if it's bad or it's good. It's always good when you love God. It's always good when you're one with Christ. And, you know, 6.5 months ago, man, I had a son, my 21-year-old son had a seizure and he was unresponsive for 30 hours. And I'm sitting there in the hospital room with his mom and Pastor Wes, and it sucks. I mean, it sucks. He's popping up and like contorting and then going back. And, you know, it's again, I'm not trying to be Billy Graham guy here, but I'm calm. Okay. Because God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the exact same. No matter if I hit the Minneapolis miracle call and everybody thinks I'm Kevin Harlan reincarnate, or if my son is writhing in pain. The first thing I thought was, if he's going to be like that the rest of his life, we have to figure out which two jobs I'm leaving and where we're going to add the extension to the house, because he will have a better life than he has now. And I will give everything that I have to make sure he does. I'm not saying I wouldn't have said that 5 years ago, Jason. I've always kind of been that way. But it's quick twitch when you recognize the significance and the importance of what's in these pages. And you recognize everybody's the same and it doesn't bite me any differently than it bites somebody else. They just may not have given into it the way I have. And it's just the most beautiful time of my life. That's the only way to put it.
Well, I think of Romans 12 too, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you know, and you were transformed 3-4 years ago. Something happened with you. I think as you're describing this, it's a transformation. Tell everyone what took place. I mean, you're 52 years old and God gets a hold of you. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, like I said, I mean, I always was a person, whether growing up in Washington, D.C., been through multiple divorces. My father died in Pocatello, Idaho. When I was 7, I was right next to him. Hmm. I've been next to death one way or the other, family member or not. I mean, right next to it. 7 or 8 times in my life. I just told you about my son. In 2017, we clinched the division against the Cincinnati Bengals. It's super joyous. My daughter has a problem at then age 14 with a bullying situation. That was terrible. It's one of the worst situations I've ever faced in my life. So why I bring all that up before answering your question is, when you study the Bible and read the Bible, more so than starting first word Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation, I would not advise anybody to read the Bible that way. Okay, but I didn't know that a year ago. In fact, I would start the other way, and I would go from the New Testament back. And then all of a sudden, things make a lot more sense. So I've always believed in God. I always prayed. I always was the teenager, the 20-year-old, who would walk into the Pacific Ocean, you know, while living in Southern California and say, "Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day." I just always was that person. Went to church probably 15, 20 times up to age 52 in obligatory fashion, Catholic church, Easter, Christmas, things like that. And had no idea Jesus was God on earth. I had no idea. I believed in Jesus, but I didn't know why. I believed in the crucifixion and or resurrection, but it was more tied to Easter. And I never really took time to study it. And I knew of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, I knew that, and I still do that. You know, even though I guess I would be classified as evangelical or Protestant or Baptist, or I mean, it's straight Bible with me. So however you want to look at that. But I still frequently, name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I still do that all the time. I got no problem doing that. But I didn't exactly know what the Holy Spirit was for 52 years. So then I go to the first Baptist church I'd ever been to in Minnesota, in Burnsville, Minnesota. And Pastor Wes, who has become one of my very best friends, he's my theological mentor. We spend a lot of time together. I mean, I was asking some of the weirdest questions to him three and a half years ago. I'm not married. You know, I'm laying in a bed with a woman. Can you explain that to me? You know, and just some like salacious things and just questions I had. So it starts there. But when I was at that Baptist church, Wes was doing something called All Sides of the Savior. And he actually has a book on that series, All Sides of the Savior. And the first one was The Burden of Unforgiveness. And so they had the music. I'm not really there for the music, but if you are, that's great. I've just learned that I want to get hit over the head by the preach. And the music's great and it bites some people. Cool. That's great. I pray during the music. And then These passages were coming up, man, like Galatians, and I had no idea what it was, and Thessalonians, and Hosea, and Ruth, and I knew Genesis, and I knew John, and with John 3:16, I knew that more from sporting events,
right?
And I lie to you. And like the preach, the burden of unforgiveness, it was coming out of the Bible. Like I had Poopy Dave, my best friend, David Koob, he's a lawyer, and he's also my statistician for the Vikings Radio Network and has been since 07. And I got Lisa, with whom I live, the flight attendant, you know, and stuff's coming up. And they're like, well, that's always been you. Well, that's always been you. And then I'm like, well, that's always been me too. Like, I've always acted like that. I've always believed that way. So then I drive to Canterbury to call races. Man, I got this stimulation. I got this feeling in my body. I can't stop thinking about Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. The part of it where Jesus said to Matthew, my heart is lowly and my burden is light. That bit the hell out of me, because I'm like, if his heart is lowly and his burden is light and I'm sitting here worried about this crap, and I just kept thinking and thinking and thinking about it, and I couldn't wait to go next week. So then I went next week, the burden of idolatry. More stuff was hitting me again. And really through one of those two, when I learned God came to earth as man, was sin free, and the lessons he taught, the miracles he mustered, and the sacrifice he made. Well, that was it. The whole thing was over. I dedicated every facet of my life to the Bible, every facet of my life doing the best I can to walk the walk God would want me to walk. And believe it or not, 3.5-4 years into it, Jason, when praying, I'm still in the transitional period, 2022, age 56, of including Jesus in my prayers. Because when you go 52 years, Heavenly Father, like I used to pray, Father, please forgive me for this. Well, I don't do that anymore because I don't need to. Instead, I glorify God for getting me out of a situation that potentially was tenuous, or putting me in a position to do this Sports Spectrum podcast with Jason Romano. That'll be my prayer on my drive to Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center for Vikings practice. And so that has changed, but that's it. I mean, I just got bit by the Holy Spirit. I took a 13-week course on something called systematic theology. Went to 10 of them, way, way above my head. But yeah, if I was able to leave each of those sessions, Jason, with one, two, or three things that really resonated with me, it was an absolute win. And when they went down the road of predestination, which I understand is you know, kind of a hot talker within the Christian community, and I respect that and understand that, and I have my opinion per the Bible, you know, with me, I don't have opinions, okay? It all comes out of here. And then I craft it from there when I do these sermons or when I talk to people like you, which I wish I had more of an opportunity in my life, but that's another story. With the way things were developing and looking at A and B, well, now all the glory goes to God. And when it comes to learning in systematic theology about effectual calling, okay? And in the book of Romans, we have, you know, paraphrasing, he knew you before you were born. Then we have foreknowledge to calling, to justification, to glorification. That's it. I don't need to see anything else. It was an effectual calling, 100% God indicating to me, it's go time, boy. I protected you and kept you within the bubble of love that I always used to pray about. And, you know, it's I put you in the spot for a long time. Three microphones for almost 30 years for this moment. It's go time, boy. I didn't hear it. I didn't see a vapor. Again, I ain't different, any different than anybody else. I've always been vulnerable. My vulnerability came pouring out. That podcast that I do, Faith and Goal, that started. The sermon started. Speaking at churches started. Stuff like this are pretty much the only podcasts I ever do now, is unless it involves faith. And that was an effectual calling. And when it comes to God's will, you know, I've chatted about that with several people, and I concede I need to know more. There's no doubt about it. But if you have Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane with witnesses there, which the Bible says is important, the disciples, and he's on his knees and he says, paraphrasing, "Father, if it's in your will, take this cup from me." Okay, then we get to the cross, and the penultimate thing he says is, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Which would be questioning his own will, God's will. But it was a lesson, and the garden was a lesson. And I don't need to know anymore about free will. I am 100% God's will guy, zero mine, and I have a right to be that guy. And here's why. Because the devil gets to win too. Okay, he ain't going to win the war, but he's going to win battles per Revelation 12 when the archangel Michael thrust him down, and then he made the threat, well, I'm going to torment creation, the rest of humanity, the rest of existence. And God's like, okay, I know that. It's checks and balances, man. I mean, we can go back and read the book of Job if you want. But for Jesus to teach to the disciples, him asking himself, "If your will permits, take this pain from me," that's it. The game's over. I don't really even need to play another game.
What changes after that? You mentioned podcasts, doing your podcast, Faith and Gold, doing shows.
You disagree
like
with
this.
Me, don't you, on God's will and free will?
I don't know if I disagree. I just don't know if I'm equipped to really go into a deep theological conversation about it. I believe God's will is,
you're awesome.
Is, yeah, I'm just being honest.
Yeah, we should just do this every single day for 15 minutes, whether you record or not. Because, man, it's iron sharpening iron, and I can't speak for you, your life, but damn it, man, I just need more of this in my life. I'm craving more of this in my life, and right. I go to KFAN. Well, we ain't going to talk about iron sharpening iron or predestination. I go to the Vikings facility. Ain't going to happen there. I go call races at Canterbury. Ain't going to happen there. I come home, not happening enough here. I mean, it's just, we need more of this in the world, you know?
We do. And that's why I love doing the show I get to do, because you're sharpening me right now, even if, whether I agree or disagree, and I'm not even sure if I 100% agree or disagree on anything that you said thus far, other than maybe the Ben Roethlisberger stuff, but we can go into that another time and not do it here
that's on
the podcast. But I think something changes in you, Paul, from what you're describing in the conversations that we have, not just doing shows like this and podcasts like you mentioned, but having encounters and opportunities to pray with guys, to share your faith, to see people differently. Have you had an encounter like that or an opportunity like that? Maybe it's even as a broadcaster where you just felt the Holy Spirit leading you to do something.
Well, that's a good question. It's interesting the way you framed up that question, man, because let's see, the pandemic was March of 2020. So let's go March of 2021. Lisa, the flight attendant with whom I live, her mother had cancer, and then we all got bit with COVID. And whomever was the first to say, if you're elderly and you have a pre-established condition and you get COVID, it's over fast. Well, they were dead right. They were absolutely, I mean, it went fast. Well, during that time, Lisa, her daughter, Armini's daughter, Armini's 81. Well, we all got bit with COVID. Mine was gone in 48 hours, completely gone, the whole thing. And thank God it was, because Lisa ended up having COVID pneumonia. And she was at St. Joseph's Hospital in St. Paul for 12 days. And during that time, her mom died. Now, God put me in a position where I was really the only one who could run the in-home hospice. Because A, I'd been bit with COVID, so I could walk in there. And B, there was nobody else to do it because the daughter's in the hospital. So it never was daunting. It was the greatest 8 days I've ever had in my life. And when I say that to people, see, you're going to smile and you're going to get it. But when I'm like, you know, when I tell them about the 8 days of in-home hospice that I ran, serving somebody spiritually and physically every single day, right to death, unlocking jaws, freaking out because one foot's hot and the other's cold, trying to feed her a ding dong or the chocolate on a ding dong because I thought, you know, she wasn't eating. So like, you know what? Thinking to myself, you're going to die relatively soon. let's go ahead and put some ding-dong chocolate in your mouth so you can at least have a good taste. And then the hospice nurse came in and she's like, are you out of your mind? So, I mean, learning through all of that. Well, it was the greatest honor that I've ever had in my life. And when I say that to the secular, they don't get it. Because being next to somebody who died and then her face right when she died, like popping out like that and the eyeballs coming out, scared the bleep out of me. I was right next to it. But man, it was such a beautiful week. And I learned so much about so many different things during that week. So we're at the funeral and a lot of friends and family members in Detroit, where she's from, you know, they were grieving the loss of their friend and their family member. And, you know, that's 2 weeks after I just had that 8 days with her. And I was really depressed, man, really depressed, because I was like, God, all I want to do is this the rest of my life. I'll give up everything anytime to have those 8 days with anybody, anywhere. Connection with the Holy Spirit and with Harmony and the Bible reading and having her say, come Holy Spirit. I had been working with her for 2 months up to it because, you know, she had cancer. So she was going to die relatively soon. You know, she's like, I'm a failure. I had this massive depression 60 years ago. I lost my kids and, you know, she had no relationship with God. So I would go over to her house unbeknownst to the flight attendant and I would sit down with her and say, have you ever heard of Matthew, the disciple Matthew? She's like, yeah, I've heard of him. And I'm like, okay, well, guess what? He was a tax collector who ripped off his own, the Jews, and fed the Romans, the evil, the enemy, the adversary. And he lived that life, which was deplorable. He needed a Roman guard to walk him to his tax stand because he was getting stoned. That's a pretty bad person. Ever hear of Saul the persecutor, Saul of Tarsus? No, I haven't. Okay, well, he ended up becoming the Apostle Paul. He wrote the most books of anybody in the Bible. And by the way, if you were a Jew who believed in Christ, all he did was have your head cut off. Okay, pretty bad person, right, Harmony? So just to let her know that what you believe in Christ, you're going to heaven. That's all that matters. None of this crap matters. So I spent that kind of time with her up to those 8 days. And so then when it was done, I was just really depressed for a couple of months. Like, when's my next honor? When's my next honor? When's my next honor? When's my next honor? Well, when I stopped wondering when my next honor was, or like asking for it, open the floodgates, baby. Got an opportunity to do those sermons at the Canterbury Chapel, Arise with the Guys, spoke at a church called Anchor Hill Church in Las Vegas, did a big Super Bowl Sunday church speaking event locally, running the chapel this year at Canterbury. It's again, I'm not doing it to earn my way to heaven because I'm going to heaven, but I do it because it's so great. It's just so beautiful. And I would do it every minute of every day, the rest of my life, if God guides me that way. So now when you say that there are conversions in the Holy Spirit, well, through all of that, things pop up out of nowhere that require prayer. Or like, you know, part of running the racetrack chaplaincy, I now pray in the jockey's room for whatever jockeys want to come into the silks room before every race card. And it's about 3 to 5 minutes. Okay, well, there's an honor. But now some of those jockeys will text me on the side saying, my mother-in-law in Jalisco, Mexico is in this. Will you please pray for her? Okay, that happens all the time. But then they want to meet and there's ministering involved. Wow, that's awesome. Prepping for it, doing it, and walking away from it knowing that there are angels that are happy, because that is what the world should be more like, in my opinion. Not because I'm doing it. People watching now do a ton of stuff like that. This is just my story. And really, it just pops up out of nowhere, man. Like last year during the Viking season, you know, Adam Thielen, CJ Ham, Dan Chisena, Dalvin Cook, some coaches who are no longer here, I would see them at Road Fellowship. or I would say God bless, and they'd say God bless to me. But then all of a sudden, before the first game last year, I'm standing on the sideline. CJ Ham walks by, a devout Christian, and open with him. And I'm like, CJ, you want to pray? He goes, yeah. So then he comes over, and then I go down the road of, CJ, per the book of Matthew chapter 5, you are salt of the earth. You, Christians, are, not should be, are salt, preserving what's good of the earth. Our world is in decay. Please keep CJ healthy, and then just went down the road of that. Well, then the next week, CJ came over, and so did Dan Chisena, and then an equipment guy, and then Dalvin Cooks in some kind of aggressive controversy in the middle of the season involving a lady he used to date or with whom he used to live. And it was like 2 days old, and the confidence the Holy Spirit gives you when you unleash the beast inside of you. And I'm saying letting go of the beast known as the devil and the evil and the sin that lives in you, and it's going to be in me forever, but there are facets that get let go when you go down this road. God relieves you of them. And the confidence that builds up is just really hard to explain. Because like to call games, call races, call radio show, do radio shows, do what you do, do what you did with ESPN. It takes a degree of confidence that a lot of people don't have. But now we look at the way we do those things compared to the honors of sharing the gospel, sharing the Bible, and attaching hearts via the Holy Spirit. There's nothing greater ever. So it's like we're at the LA Chargers. Dalvin Cook's walking down the sideline, and I stop him. And I say to Dalvin, you know, yo, what's up, P? And I'm like, Dalvin, you know, everything that everybody's reading and hearing, it doesn't matter. I mean, do the best you can to be an upstanding citizen, and I couldn't care less if A is true or B is true. But you're going to heaven, man, and God loves you. And that's really at the end of the equation, what matters most. He gave me the greatest hug that I had all last season. And then we prayed. Okay, now the next week, here comes Dalvin. It just stands there. CJ Ham's there, Dan Chisena, Adam Groney, one of the equipment guys. And I'm just right in the middle. All right, everybody ready? Because we don't want to do it in a way that's showy and be like, hey, everybody here at SoFi, look at us. No, no, no. We're not the street corner show off outside of the synagogue. This is about God, and it's not about us being seen. So the Holy Spirit guided me in a way where that started happening. One of our wide receivers, KJ Osborne, just yesterday asked me, are you going to pray on the sideline again? I go, absolutely. So then we're playing the season, man, and we play the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. We lost to Cooper Rush.
I remember that game well.
Yeah, we lost to Cooper Rush, and I saw your most recent Dallas Cowboys tweet. I don't think you're a Cowboys fan either, but that's okay. or one of your recent tweets about the Cowboys. So anyway, I'm doing a segment for Vikings.com called Between the Lines, and it's after games. And I see walking from the locker room Randy Gregory, a defensive end now with the Broncos, on the physically unable to perform list. But, I mean, the pup he's on with Denver has nothing to do with the mup, the mentally unable to perform, the pup, the physically unable to perform list that he's been on during his life. And I don't know Randy Gregory's story in and out, okay? But I just know that there have been a lot of substance-related issues, and the lonely monster has come knocking on his door, and he said, come on in. Again, Revelation 12, the devil gets to win too, just not the war. And so I'm trying to rush through my Between the Lines part because for some reason I want to talk to Randy Gregory, and I've never met Randy Gregory. So we get done. I put my my bag around my shoulder, and I walk up next to Randy, and I said to him, the way I put it was, here's what I do. I watch film to memorize numbers, but we've had Myles Garrett here this season. Bro, you're Myles Garrett. I mean, I don't care where you've been, and it's not my job to know where you're going, but you're a problem, man. And then he was just looking at me, and he stopped. and he didn't know really where I was going. And I said, you're a problem and you've had myriad problems, and that's okay, because God loves you. God forgives you according to the Bible. And if you look up there at the lady cleaning the trash in section 120, or you look over there at the guy grooming the field, or you look at me, and you're Randy Gregory, man, you're in the NFL, you're a problem, you're one of the best pass rushers when you're on your game in the last 10 years, and you got more money than all of us. And in God's eyes, you're exactly the same as all of us, whether you're failing or you're succeeding. And he put his hands on my shoulders and looked at me and said, man, you got no idea how badly I needed to hear that. And I said, you're right, I don't, but God did. Because I got no idea why I came over here, man. It's the first time I've ever done this in my life. But I walked up to Randy Gregory and started preaching. And then we walked along a little bit together. And I was just talking to him about, I don't care where you've been or what you've done or what people say. I don't care, because I know God looks at you exactly the same as everybody else. And I'd like to pray with you. And we stopped again. And he put his kind of his arm on me like that. And I prayed. And then he hugged me. And I said, that was the highlight of my season, man. So God bless you. And he said, likewise for me. And then he walked to the Cowboys bus. So that's, I haven't told that story before, like on my podcast, radio show, personally, I haven't told that story much at all. And the reason I don't is because I don't want people to think that I'm different than them, because I'm not. But you can't dispute, God has put me in a position to be in that position. So absolutely, when you're in that position, what do you do with it? It says all, and this is one thing that just low key is kind of pissing me off as my faith and knowledge advance and I become more learned. You can't dispute, it's up and down the Bible. If you believe in God and his son, crucifixion, resurrection, 40 days, there he goes, there go the disciples and the Holy Spirit. Share the gladness. You ain't got to go out and bang somebody on the head and be one of those people who turns people off to Christianity. But see, then again, if you start thinking, I'm not doing enough, what can I do? I got to get out there a bit, you know, with the Holy Spirit. I love it. It's everything. That's crap. That's your will, man. And God will put you in the position to do what you're supposed to do, that he wants you to do when he wants you to do it. So I just know, I've gotten to know so many people who are so overwhelmed by the Bible and God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, but they are upset because they won't take the step to have opportunities to talk to Randy Gregory or anybody at any job. And that upsets me, because it's not your decision. And when you start thinking it's your decision, well, then that makes you God. And that's wrong. So that's the answer.
Paul, we make terrible gods. I heard somebody say that. Humans make terrible gods.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You just really got me going on things right now. Like, you just got me going on things, man, about, you know, the do not done, the do / done matters. It's done. The Bible is the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, we don't add to it. We don't pull from it. I know that's said in Revelation, per Revelation. It's the whole thing, man. You don't pull commandments from the Ten Commandments. And you don't come across a trinket and make it God. That's idolatry. That's a false idol. And I'm just, the more I learn, the more I wish I could just, I know I'm contradicting myself now. I just wish I could grab some people and be like, it says this here, man. Yeah. It says this here. Just follow it. You're going to heaven. Stop tripping.
Yeah. I'm excited to see the stories that you're going to share with me. Hopefully we'll talk before January, but the stories that you're going to share with me at the end of the year, when I ask you, what did God do during the 2022 NFL season? I'm excited for
that.
Well,
you know what? If there's any way, you know, I can get into my advertising stable, which is vast with KFAN, but it's not necessarily that national. I mean, if there's any way that like there maybe doesn't even need to be a sponsor or whatever, I would love to do this. I'll do this with you whenever you want, as truncated as you need it. If you need game previews, if you need something on my phone after a game, I'm your Huckleberry man, because I pine for the opportunity to do more of this.
Right.
The iron sharpening iron. Me talking out, maybe making mistakes.
Sure.
And then I'll hear about them and I'll learn about
somebody
them.
Somebody will probably listen and say, I don't know what Paul's saying there. We need to kind of understand that a little bit more. That's okay. Cause that's what I love about you. You're a newer Christian, you know, 3-4 years, but you're not saying that you know it all, but you're confident in saying what you believe God has taught you these last 4 years and what the Bible says, but you're also human. And I think that's how I am too. Like you asked me about free will. I've been a Christian 20 years. I don't know if I have a firm, full 100%. This is how it is. This is what I believe. I believe God does grant us free will. I also believe God says, your will be done, not mine. As Jesus says that, as he's getting ready to go, you know, and be put on a cross. And that's the most dangerous prayer that we'll ever pray, because it's real.
Yeah.
Your will be
but
done,
also,
not mine.
Also, when the apostle Peter, when disciple Peter, the fisherman, I believe it was him, in right before Sermon on the Mount, early Matthew, might be chapter 7, when he, paraphrasing, asks Jesus, teach us how to pray, Father. And then Jesus is kind of like, well, I thought you'd never ask. And then this is key, man. This is key.
Yeah.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, and it's yours now and forever. That's a dagger. That's another Wayne Larrivee, Green Bay Packers, and there is your dagger for me. But see, when I have in the rare times I get to have these conversations, people hit me with legitimate stuff that I can't answer. And they'll be like, okay, well, when you sin, or, you know, you do this or you do that, and it's not of God, well, that's God's will? Or is God guiding that? Yes, he's not making it happen. He's permitting it. Okay, he's permitting it. And guess what that plays into? I'm only going to let sorrow and sadness and evil go so far. And then I'm going to jump in there and grab it. So, yeah, that is part of it, too, because let's not forget, Lucifer, before he was cast down, was God's right-hand man. So it could be, it was, you know, the devil had free will then. No, he didn't. He, by design, he went rogue. And then now all of a sudden we got spiritual warfare for 2,000-3,000 years. Because like Revelation 12 says, man, it's a very, 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 very important book in the Bible. It indicates that evil is going to win battles on earth. And you have to understand that you don't jump out on God, because something is won. You've gone to the computer again and done the wrong thing. You've sent the wrong text. You've done whatever you've done. Is I'm not saying keep doing it, but you know what I am saying? It's okay. Don't do it again. Do your best to get yourself disciplined right, to get the discipline right. Laugh at him. I'm not going to sit here and mock the devil, because I don't want to talk trash to him and then all of a sudden my son has a seizure again. Okay. And okay, well, where's God's will with the seizure? Well, see, here's the deal, man. Don't ask me where God's will is, because I ain't God. So stop trying to put me in a position to be God. I can't answer that question. And I don't even know what the purpose is. The purpose may be 400 years from now. But the question is, how do you handle the fumble or the interception in the game while the game is going on? And quick twitch, I love you, Father. If I no longer have my son, I love you, Father. And I love my son, and it's very difficult to have conversations like this, but I am zero Paul Allen will, 100% God's will.
Thanks, Paul Allen. And we will talk once I hit stop here on this taping to figure out a way to do this again very soon. Let's just put it that way.
Anytime you want, as long or as short as you want, you can come up with a book in the Bible, and I'll spend a week reading it and coming up with things, and we could do that.
Wow.
I got some
ideas.
Want, man.
I got some ideas, but
anything, anytime.
You're the best. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Yep. God bless you, brother. And thanks for this opportunity. I love Sports Spectrum. I think it was really cool that before I met you, I'm like looking for Christian or God related stuff online for magazines and periodicals. I'm like, hey, there's Jenny Finch. Hey, look at the Sports Spectrum. And then I subscribe to it. Okay. So when people are like, well, what's God? Okay. Is it a vapor? Is it voices that you hear like Moses on Mount Sinai? Nah. You want to know what God is? God is me stumbling across Sports Spectrum, subscribing and becoming friends with the publisher and doing a podcast that hopefully tens of thousands watch and or listen to. And if only one out of this is like those two right there, I don't know what just happened to me, but I'm into this gospel transformational Bible, and I'm gonna start breaking things down. You know what I mean? That's actually the Bible that I have. Where the words are, the font's a little too small for me.
The one I'm holding.
That's beautiful.
That is the Spirit-filled Life Bible that I'm reading. The one I have.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, are you familiar with an old school preacher named Ray Comfort?
Yes. Yeah. For sure.
I wasn't really until about a year ago, and I watch a lot of Bible related and God related and Christianity related things on YouTube.
Yes.
And Ray Comfort with whatever Living Water maybe or something like that. Ordered.
He's Australian. He's Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And man, you know what? I've learned a lot through you, through like Billy Graham on Sirius satellite radio.
Yeah, his sermons.
Ray Comfort, Pastor Wes. It just, like I said about the honors, Jason, and you know, man, I mean, I'm you know, literally preaching to the choir here, but when you stop asking and or looking for things, it's amazing what God does. And it's amazing the path he puts you on that you can't see right now. And why can't you see it? Because you're not God. And if he wants you there, he'll put you there. And I'm just happy that my life is dedicated to God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. It's never going to change. The evil has tried to take two of my children within the last 4 years, and here we are. My strength, my faith only got stronger. So
I'm glad God brought us together, Paul Allen.
I hope this podcast, in any way, sends somebody to the Bible, or to email, tweet, or whatever. Jason and I, to really learn how to read the Bible, because I had to be taught. And maybe that can be the next time we chat. It could be like, for the newbie, what's the proper way to start the Bible?
Yeah, that's really good. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. Love you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Love you too.
And many thanks to Paul Allen for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. You can follow him on Twitter. PAO on the mic is his Twitter handle. Paul Allen on the mic, PAO on the mic. He's a great guy. He's a very gregarious guy, right? Very confident, I think. And I like talking to him. I really did. And you could sense that Jesus has got a hold of him in such a unique and fascinating way. You know, conversions are very interesting and opportunities to begin a relationship with Jesus. For a lot of people, they start when they're young, and then somewhere around, you know, college age, they maybe return to that, or they have a moment when Jesus becomes their own savior. And then for people like me who grew up going to church, but not really understanding about what a relationship with Jesus meant, it took till I was 27 years old. And how about for Paul Allen, who at 52 years old starts to hear Jesus, starts to hear the gospel, starts to respond to the gospel, and now has gone on this journey, of learning about Jesus, about investigating who Jesus is, reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, which I'm guilty of this too. Not all of us do. I think we read, but we don't study. And when you study the scripture, you have God's word right there, and you're ready to respond. And that's what Peter tells us to do in 1 Peter 3:15. He says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within you. Paul Allen has been prepared now for a little while on giving a reason for the hope that's within him. And so we appreciate him being here today on Sports Spectrum. We appreciate you as well for tuning in. Thank you, as always, for the support of Sports Spectrum. We are the intersection of sports and faith, and our goal is to bring Jesus and keep Jesus in the sports conversation. You can find us on our website, sportsspectrum.com. That's a great place to go every single day, sportsspectrum.com. And then our social media sites, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Those are great places to stay in tune with what we have going on, to subscribe to all of our content. And then, of course, this podcast is one of the best things that we do as well. And you can stay in touch by subscribing or following this podcast on whatever app that you listen to podcasts on. Please do join us next time for another episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day. And thanks for joining us right here on Sports Spectrum.